questo scure gelido.
They beguiled the time by backbiting and intriguing against each other in a foolish kind of way. There was an air of plotting about that station, but nothing came of it, of course. It was as unreal as everything else, as the philanthropic pretense of the whole concern, as their talk, as their government, as their show of work. The only real feeling was a desire to get appointed to a trading post where ivory was to be had, so that they could earn percentages. They intrigued and slandered and hated each other only on that account. But as to effectually lifting a little finger, oh no, by heavens, there is something after all in the world allowing one man to steal a horse while another must not look at the halter. Steal a horse straight out. Very well, he has done it. Perhaps he can ride. But there is a way of looking at the halter that would provoke the most charitable of saints into a kick. I had no idea why he wanted to be sociable, but as we chatted in there, it suddenly occurred to me that the fellow was trying to get at something. In fact, pumping me. He alluded constantly to Europe, to the people I was supposed to know there, putting leading questions to my acquaintances in the sepulchral city, and so on. His little eyes glittered like mica discs, with curiosity, though he tried to keep up a bit of superciliousness. At first I was astonished, but very soon I became awfully curious to see what he would find out from me. I couldn't possibly imagine what I had in me to make it worth his while. It was very pretty to see how he baffled himself, for in truth my body was full of chills, and my head had nothing in it but that wretched steamboat business. It was evident he took me for a perfectly shameless prevaricator. At last he got angry, and to conceal a movement of furious annoyance, he yawned. I rose. Then I noticed a small sketch in oils on a panel representing a woman, draped and blindfolded, carrying a lighted torch. The background was somber, almost black. The movement of the woman was stately, and the effect of the torchlight on the face was sinister. It arrested me, and he stood by civilly, holding a half-pint champagne bottle, medical comforts, with a candle stuck in it. To my question, he said Mr. Kurtz had painted this, in this very station, more than a year ago, while waiting for means to go to his trading post. "Tell me, pray," said I, "who is this Mr. Kurtz?" "The chief of the inner station," he answered, in a short tone, looking away. "Much obliged," I said, laughing. "And you are the brickmaster of the central station. Everyone knows that." He was silent for a while. "He is a prodigy," he said at last. "He is an emissary of pity and science and progress and devil knows what else. We want," he began to declaim suddenly, "for the guidance of the cause entrusted to us by Europe, so to speak, higher intelligence, wide sympathies, a singleness of purpose." "Who says that?" I said. "Lots of them," he replied. "Some even write that. And so he comes here, a special being, as you ought to know." "Why ought I to know?" I interrupted, really surprised. He paid no attention. "Yes, today he is chief of the best station. Next year he will be assistant manager. 2 years more and... But I dare say you know what he will be in 2 years' time. You are of the new gang, the gang of virtue. The same people who sent him specially also recommended you. Oh, don't say no. I've my own eyes to trust." Light dawned upon me. My dear aunt's influential acquaintances were producing an unexpected effect upon that young man. I nearly burst into a laugh. "Do you read the company's confidential correspondence?" I asked. He hadn't a word to say. It was great fun. "When Mr. Kurtz," I continued severely, "is general manager, you won't have the opportunity." He blew the candle out suddenly, and we went outside. The moon had risen. Black figures strolled about listlessly, pouring water on the glow, whence proceeded a sound of hissing. Steam ascended in the moonlight. The beaten nigger groaned somewhere. "What a row the brute makes," said the indefatigable man with the moustaches, appearing near us. "Serve him right. Transgression. Punishment. Bang. Pitiless. P pitiless. That's the only way. This will prevent all conflagrations for the future. I was just telling the manager, he noticed my companion, and became crestfallen all at once. Not in bed yet, he said, with a kind of servile heartiness. It's so natural. Huh. Danger. Agitation. He vanished. I went on to the riverside, and the other followed me. I heard a scathing murmur at my ear. Heap of muff, go to. The pilgrims could be seen in knots gesticulating, discussing. Several had still their staves in their hands. I verily believe they took these sticks to bed with them. Beyond the fence, the forest stood up spectrally in the moonlight, and through the dim stir, through the faint sounds of that lamentable courtyard, the silence of the land went home to one's very heart. Its mystery, its greatness, the amazing reality of its concealed life. The hurt nigger moaned feebly somewhere nearby, and then fetched a deep sigh that made me mend my pace away from there. I felt a hand introducing itself under my arm. "My dear sir," said the fellow, "I don't want to be misunderstood, and especially by you, who will see Mr. Kurtz long before I can have that pleasure. I wouldn't like him to get a false idea of my disposition." I let him run on, this papier-mâché Mephistopheles, and it seemed to me that if I tried, I could poke my forefinger through him and would find nothing inside but a little loose dirt, maybe. He, don't you see, had been planning to be assistant manager by and by under the present man, and I could see that the coming of that Kurtz had upset them both not a little. He talked precipitately, and I did not try to stop him. I had my shoulders against the wreck of my steamer, hauled up on the slope like a carcass of some big river animal. The smell of mud, of primeval mud, by Jove, was in my nostrils. The high stillness of primeval forest was before my eyes. There were shiny patches on the black creek. The moon had spread over everything a thin layer of silver, over the rank grass, over the mud, upon the wall of matted vegetation standing higher than the wall of a temple, over the great river I could see through a sombre gap glittering, glittering, as it flowed broadly by without a murmur.